Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode, a special episode of the Wandering One podcast. I'm your host, Link Flores, presented to you by Wandering One Studios. This is a supplemental gaming-focused episode. More than a few people have actually asked for this over social media, so I hope you guys are tuned in and listening, because this is for you, particularly for the gamers out there. If you're a gamer or if you know someone who is, feel free to like listen in and also send this along to them. Just to let you guys know, you can also catch me on twitch.tv/linkib. That's L-I-N-K-I-B-E, about four times a week. Things are going to be changing going into 2024. I'll make mention of that a little bit later on, but you can catch me there through the rest of 2023 with some gaming goodness, some chitter chatter, all around just foolishness in general. Just having a good time with the homies on the stream. If you're interested in some merch for Wandering One Studios or for the Twitch channel, you can go to streamlabs.com/linkib/merch, and that's where you can pick up some cool hoodies, water bottles, t-shirts. We got all kinds of cool stuff over there. Hopefully you guys will check that out. And the big announcement, the Patreon page for Wandering One Studios is undergoing some changes, so feel free to follow. Just don't subscribe yet, because we got big changes coming. This one is the biggest one. In January, we're lowering the subscription tier from $5 to $3 to make it a little bit more accessible and affordable for everyone, and to, in my personal opinion, make it commensurate to the content you'll be getting right over there exclusively on patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. This is also your reminder that your questions and comments and stories and suggestions and whatnot are all more than welcome over on Patreon. So feel free to stop on over there and let me know what you think of the show. Let me know if you have a question you'd like an answer to, or if you have a situation you want some advice on, or maybe you just want to share a funny anecdote or something that you think I might enjoy. Please feel free to stop over to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios and let it rip. I'd love to hear some more from each and every one of you. And I intended on getting the free Patreon episodes up for December. This is my Christmas present to everyone ahead of changing up the Patreon subscription tier. Things got a little delayed, but those will be coming. So look for those, and I'll have both of those hopefully ready before the end of the month of December. Now, moving right along. Let's take a look at what's been happening recently in the world of gaming. Some very interesting things have been happening just personally and in the gaming industry in general. One thing I've noticed a lot, and it's been an unusual thing, particularly for me as a game streamer, is I've seen a couple people out there in the community who are bit capping their streams. And this might not make sense to some of you, so I'll explain. If you're watching a streamer playing games on a platform like Twitch, generally speaking, you can do what's called a cheer. It's just a monetary tip, essentially. They're usually pretty small. They can be as small as you want or as large as you want, depending. Some people have certain perks assigned to a cheer. So, for example, they might say, for like $3, I'll play for like, you know, the next 5 minutes, you know, wearing a silly hat, or, you know, try to do a match with in a competitive game, I'll try to do a match where I only use the throwing knife instead of using any weapons, any other weapons, stuff like that. People get creative with them, and I think that's really fun. However, I've noticed one thing is that a lot of streamers will allow you to cheer bits or whatever it's called on the platform that you're watching on. They'll let you cheer bits at just about any amount, but some people I've noticed are capping it and saying, unless you give me this much money, you can't give me any money. This is a disturbing trend that I've noticed is becoming more and more prevalent. I think that part of this does with the, it's predicated on the economics of most streaming platforms. One of the biggest problems that a lot of streamers on Twitch have is that Twitch takes an exorbitant amount of money from their lower level streamers, streamers like myself, who are not partnered with them. And for the partners, they get to keep more of the money, which I guess seems fair in a weird way, but the split is 50-50. And if you don't know, Twitch is owned by Amazon, and I don't know that Amazon needs 50% of whatever little bit of revenue I get every month. It feels like maybe if you're a Twitch partner and you bring in significantly more revenue, you should be able to give more because you have more. But for like just affiliate streamers is what we're called when you're small level, low level streamers. They take half of everything you make, which is a pretty rough way to go, particularly considering most of your audience is also not people who have a ton of residual income to blow. So the idea of saying you can't give me any money unless you give me like 50 cents or a dollar every time you decide to give me money, it's weird to me. To me, money is money is money. If you've got 5 cents and that's all you've got and you decide that you want to give it to me, man, that's a blessing in my book. You know, if you've got $500 and you want to give it to me, of course, that's a blessing in my book. But me telling you how much you're allowed to give me to show your support seems kind of weird when you could just watch for free and just deal with the ads. A lot of times people will even subscribe to a channel, and you know, Twitch takes half of that. So if somebody is willing to watch and is willing to send you whatever little bit of money they have in their pocket, even if they are watching for free, why wouldn't you let them? To me, it feels like, you know, you shouldn't gouge your community, but you shouldn't cut off any monetary support that's coming your way. It's like there was a weird trend that was going on in streaming for a while, and it still continues, I'm sure. But one of the big things was what they called booby streamers. You guys aren't going to like this term, but I didn't come up with this shit, so just bear with me. Essentially, what it is kind of what it sounds like. It'd be a young, attractive woman who would get on stream, and she'd usually be wearing either a low-cut top or a bikini top, and she's basically got the camera focused on mainly her chest throughout the entire thing, and she'll jump and bounce and giggle if you send her a little bit of coin. It's essentially a digital strip club without all the nakedness, and you know what? If that's how you get your money, whatever, man. That's not my business. But one of the things that was really egregious about it was there were certain streamers who were in this particular lane of streaming who would actually chastise their chat for not giving them more money. They would actually call out people who were like, I gave you like $3, you know, just I like what I'm seeing here. And you know what I mean? Imagine being at a strip club and you throw like a dollar on stage and the stripper kicks it back in your face. Is like, I won't do this for anything less than $10. I'm like, well, shit, I would grab two more dollars and be like, you can just work those $10 off somehow else. I mean, I don't know what you want from me. And this bit capping thing feels a lot like that in a way. It's a much smaller way, but it is feeling very like ungrateful for what's being given to you because people don't owe you anything. Okay, that's the real truth of it. They're getting entertainment value out of this, but you've chosen to put yourself on this platform knowing that you might not make nickel one, and yet and still you're still telling people, unless you give me this much, I don't even want to be bothered. And like I said, I get that Twitch takes a bunch of your money. I get that. Doesn't, you know, mean that I think that they should be allowed to do that. But at the same time, it feels really grimy to say like, you know what, screw you and your support. Unless you're giving me this much money, it's not even worth it. You're going to get taken for a ride anyway. You know what I mean? Twitch isn't going to give you a gold medal and a pat on the back and an extra 25% because you made people give you 50 cents or a dollar as opposed to 10 cents. Like, none of this makes any sense to me. I personally have the mindset that if you want more, get creative instead of getting corporate. Because you're kind of turning this into shrinkflation, but for streaming. You're saying, I'm giving you the exact same amount of content, but I want you to pay me more to get it. It's already bad enough that they're going to get gouged, whether it's Twitch Turbo or a Twitch subscription. And bits aren't cheap either. I mean, they still get Twitch gets a chunk of each bit purchase. You know what I mean? So like then when you give them out to somebody, they take a little piece of that too. Like, so they're getting money either way you slice it. Let them give whatever they can give. That might just be me, obviously, but it's one thing that I felt like I needed to call out because I've seen far too many streamers do it and get way too greedy with it. And it feels like it's no one's saying anything about it. Like, it's kind of like, oh yeah, sure, that's fine. And it feels dirty to me, you know? I guess maybe I'm different, but I'm super appreciative of anybody who does anything for my stream. So I mean, maybe I'm built different. It could be that. Maybe I don't fully understand the economics of what goes on behind the scenes of Twitch. I like to think that I keep up with it fairly frequently, you know, checking all the updates that they send out when they say, hey, we're about to screw you guys over for some more money. You want to listen to this? And they're like, all right, how are you guys going to bend us over this week, you know? But maybe there's something I'm missing. If there is, please feel free to let me know in the comments. I'd be more than happy to find out what I don't know. And maybe you never know, my position might change. I'm just coming from where I'm sitting right now at this present moment. So now that we've gotten that out the way, just a little insight into what I'm doing personally. Like, I know that some of you may have heard that I'm going to be rebranding the Twitch channel that I'm running, which is twitch.tv/linkib. Going forward into 2024, I'm going to be rebranding it from the dojo to something else, but I'm not entirely sure what. Initially, I love the idea of the dojo. I obviously am a huge fan of martial arts and martial arts culture. I love the vibe and I love my little, you know, designs and whatnot, but I feel like my mood and my approach towards streaming has changed over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I want to do something a little bit more laid back, something that suits me personally and engages me in a different way and also engages my stream in a different way. I kind of got shoehorned into more of an action, first person shooter genre kind of thing. And it's not really my speed. I love those games. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge fan of that genre. I'm a huge fan of gaming in general, though. So I feel like I've been kind of untrue to my own roots, the things that got me into gaming, which were, quite honestly, RPGs, role-playing games, narrative stories, tactical games. I like those a lot more. It's a slower pace. I have a chance to like absorb more of the content, feel more connected to the game itself. And also I have a little bit more flexibility to engage with the audience, the streamers who are the people who are sitting at home watching, or people who are on the train, you know, paying attention, you know, while they're on their way to work. Like, you know, I feel like I have more of an opportunity to engage at a slower paced type of game. And so I'm going to be looking at how to reshape the dojo into something a little bit more meditative. And I have some ideas, and those should be coming out hopefully within the month of January to February. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to go down. I will still keep doing my shooting gallery streams. I'm not abandoning first-person shooters or action games. I'm not swapping an entire set of games for another. But just recently, with the release of Baldur's Gate 3 on the Xbox Series X, the amount of fun that I've had playing that, playing through some of Octopath Traveler and Tactics Ogre Reborn on my Switch, even digging back into the classic Final Fantasy games that I played when I was younger, you know, in my, like, from my teens up into my mid to late 20s. Like, I want to go back and focus on some of those games. Great games, wonderful, you know, composition in terms of how they played, wonderful storylines, amazing music and visuals, and just engrossing characters. I want to go back to some more of that and feel a little bit more true to my original gaming roots. So that's a change you can be looking forward coming up in 2024. Also, because of that change, I'm going to be doing some emote and merchandise redesigns. Those are going to take a little while to flesh out because, as you may know, everything on my channel is designed by yours truly. So if it takes a while for some things to change, that's why. Because either I get caught up in other stuff and I've got so much other life things and personal things going on that I don't have the time or the energy to really focus on my own personal stream. And by proxy, like the small business I'm attempting to start. Or it just gets overwhelming just on a, you know, technical level. Some of the technical expertise and skills that I need aren't quite there. So it takes a while for me to do this kind of stuff. Now, that said, the classic designs that I currently have, I call them classic just because they're the old ones I've had forever. Those will still remain. More likely than not, what I'll be doing is I'll be updating the look and or the feel of maybe a couple of the favorites that people have already out there. Also, because I know that some of the designs are very simple and people might be like, I don't know if that's worth it for me. What I'm looking into doing is creating more splash page type artwork and designs for my merchandise, including but not limited to a comic book style, you know, basically a comic book style piece of art on a hoodie or a sweatshirt or, you know, a really highly richly designed, but maybe more black, white and gray or sepia toned art piece that could be easily put on a mug or a water bottle or make a good sticker sheet out of them, you know? So I'm looking at trying to find a way to flesh out the designs a little bit more, give them a little bit more dimension, a little bit more flavor, but at the same time have something that people would like and would be feel proud to wear and wouldn't feel like they've been undercut for the cost. And also something that reflects a little bit more of not just myself, but the overall vibe of the stream. So just keep your eyes out for those. I'm probably going to take, what I usually do is take like a month or so off at the beginning of the year. I may take a month off of streaming for the month of January to focus on just doing artwork, crafting those designs, and getting them uploaded and ready to go. But yeah, your eyes should be open for those, and hopefully I can have those fully realized and out for everyone by the end of February, early March at the latest. But I do intend on taking at least, at very least, I need to take 2 weeks off in January so I can focus on me and family and recovering and recuperating. You guys probably know I don't sleep more than like maybe 4 or 5 hours a night. And most of that is broken up into 2 hour chunks, because at some point between 3 and 4, I get awakened. Inevitably, I get awakened, and then I'm trying to get myself back to sleep. So I'm up for another hour and a half until I fall asleep. And then I wake up at 7:30 anyway. So yeah, I need some time to unplug, to recharge, to get my brain together, get my physical and mental and emotional health back in line. So just bear with me as I go into 2024 through the month of January. Like I said, I might just take the month, might take 2 weeks, might take a week. Just it takes however long it takes, but keep your eyes on the social media and here on the podcast as well for more information about that. All right. And now, without further ado, we're going to talk about probably the biggest piece of news that's happened in this last month, which is the Game Awards. Yes, the Game Awards happened on December 7th, 2023, and it's taken me this long to finally put my thoughts together about it. I've had several people in the gaming community and friends and family who have been like, I got to hear what you think about the Game Awards. Really? Are you sure? Because I'm going to say a lot of stuff. And I know that this is probably going to get me in trouble at some point, but I feel like I got to be honest about it. There was so much game. So much game. And not nearly enough awards. That's been like the primary criticism that I've heard, but that's also what I saw when I was watching. I'm like, I watched it live on stream. Well, not live. I watched it later on stream after it had already aired. And there was a lot of trailers, release trailers, teaser trailers, gameplay trailers, and it felt like E3 Lite. There was so much of a glut of a focus on stuff that wasn't even out yet in a lot of ways, or stuff that might show up the day of the show, which were very few and far between, honestly. It was a little surprising. And I know that that's not necessarily what the Game Awards are tailored towards, doing these cool drops that this will be available after the show at blahblahblah.com. You know, that was the cool thing about E3. Every now and again, you get like a release that would happen on that day, but the developer had been so hush-hush about it that nobody knew until it dropped like at E3. Or he's like, pre-orders for this are going live after this, or you know, the beta will be open today for everyone after the show. You know, and they would give away codes and stuff like that that people cared about. I mean, I think the only thing they really did was they gave away a code for a Fortnite skin or something. That was about it throughout the entire show. And I think that was most of what happened. I think there may have been some Twitch drops, but it was really kind of Spartan in that regard. Like, the gamers just basically got a bunch of what you could get in any YouTube video literally like the day after the show aired, or even a couple hours after the show aired. Somebody would have been busy beavering, already stringing together all of the trailers into one big supercut. You could have just watched that instead. So, but there weren't enough awards that were actually put up on the stage. It just felt like, you know, I was watching, you know, I was just sitting at the movie theater waiting for my film to start. And I'm just watching trailer after 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 trailer. You get the idea. And I was just like, I'm really starting to get a little bored with this. And the funny thing about it was, while there were some interesting things that were on display, not enough of it was really great. It wasn't like mind-blowing to me personally. There are some awesome releases, I think, for some gamers out there, you know, on you know, wherever you land in the gaming spectrum, no matter what console you're into, no matter what type of genre you're into. There's a couple things that probably, you know, prickled your ears a little bit, but most of the time it just felt kind of flat and just too much of a one giant commercial. We are going to talk about one of the other elephants in the room, which was Sydney Goodman, who I didn't know until the day I watched the show, but had been a Destiny 2 content creator for a long time. And man, talk about somebody who is really struggling up there and trying to give it their best, their level best to make it work. I know some people really off-put by, you know, her delivery and her tone. This presentation thing is not really what she's about. If her background is to be believed, she's more of a content creator and less of a presenter type. It's a different skill set, and it also requires a different type of delivery. And the other problem that they had was that the writing was so cringy. And I think she was trying her best to, like, act it out as opposed to just delivering the lines. And I felt bad for her because this script was terrible. It was really bad. And this is after the SAG-AFTRA strike had already been, you know, well put to bed. You could have hired someone good to write that script. But it sounded so cringy, it wasn't really relatable. And it was sad because, you know, you get this, you know, well-known, at least to a lot of people, I missed the boat, but like a well-known gaming personality who's an attractive young woman, and you put her on the big spotlight and everybody's like, cool. And then she says this gobbledygook that some, you know, weird bean counter guy wrote. This is what gamers like, isn't it? Like, no one really talks like that, dude. You know, and it just, it was so horrible to watch. I felt bad for her because you could tell that at certain points she would say something. She's like, a little piece of my soul just flaked off and died. I was like, oh no. Oh no. But I will give her props. While some of the other ladies that were watching didn't agree, I thought that dress was fire. It was really cool. And I'm not a big fashionista kind of guy. There were some pretty cool, pieces of apparel and just about everybody was out there. But yeah, that dress I thought was really cool. It looked like a mermaid who was dressed in beta fins. Like, you know, the little fighting fish, they call them fighting fish or kissing fish. She looked like she was dressed in a bunch of their fins. And I thought that was a fabulous look for her. And it really was a good one. But, you know, hey, she kind of got torpedoed by that terrible script. It took a couple points off of the look. But yeah, then going forward, you know, there was a lot of uproar regarding the awards themselves, the ones that were actually given out. One of the biggest things was people being played off the stage. They were like, you know, this is like the Oscars, basically, and they were playing people off from getting their awards so they could show more trailers. They're like, yeah, these people paid us a lot of money to do this, so we need you to get... Who cares who helped you make the game and what kind of shout-outs you want to give or props you want to give? Get off the stage. You know, the next, you know, whatever sequel thing is coming out, is the trailers are coming up. And we need you to move. And it felt so rushed and hurried that I didn't feel like they did a good job of really paying service to the games that won and the creative teams and personnel that were being supposed to be the highlight of a show called the Game Awards. And it was more about just paying lip service to the amount of money that they were given by other game developers to produce the show and show their trailers. And a real big problem was some games got the boot and they probably didn't deserve it. It felt like Baldur's Gate keeping. That might be a really cringy way to say it, but it really did feel like Baldur's Gate. I mean, don't get me wrong. While it's a great game and it deserved awards, but it really deserved all of them? There's a significant amount of categories that Baldur's Gate won, and some of them I go like, was this the move? So Baldur's Gate walked away with best RPG, best community support, best multiplayer game, the Player's Voice Award, which was the one that all the people would write in and vote for. So this is the gamers that spoke, which that's fair. And then also Game of the Year, which in a way I feel is also fair as well. I've had since the Game Awards have aired, the day they aired, Baldur's Gate 3 became available for Xbox Series X, and we were blessed enough to be gifted with the game by one of our mysterious benefactors. You know who you are. I love you, and I appreciate the hell out of you. So yeah, and the little bit that I've been able to play, about 15, 16 hours or so, I've thoroughly enjoyed. And I do feel that when it comes to Game of the Year, if it wasn't the Game of the Year, it definitely deserved to be in the top three because it's fantastic. The writing is amazing. The scenery, the battle mechanics, the lore in the world. I'm big on lore. I love like reading the story or getting invested in the story of a game. And I felt like they did an amazing job with all of that. And then also making it feel as close as possible to playing a tabletop role-playing game with your friends. And since I've had the opportunity and the pleasure of being able to engage in tabletop role-playing games with my friends over the years, it really felt quite complete. And I felt like even with my, I have minor knowledge, and I mean like I'm not a well-versed person in all the rules and lore and everything of the Forgotten Realms or the Dungeons & Dragons universe, but I know enough from what I've played to feel like I didn't feel incompetent. And it felt like, in a certain ways, it felt like, oh, I've got a little bit of a, not an advantage, but I've got like a one-up on where somebody else who's new to the game and new to these mechanics might ordinarily have. That said, I don't think that they deserved every award over some other notable mentions. One of the biggest snubs that I feel that happened was Spider-Man 2. And this was a game that's been hotly anticipated, and it had been hotly anticipated before it launched, obviously. And it had been debated for months as a possible Game of the Year contender and was nominated for, if I remember correctly, 7 awards and won absolutely 0 of them. I felt like that was a huge slap in the face to Sony. It got snubbed, basically, in my personal opinion, because it wasn't inclusive enough. And I know some people will be like, wait a minute, but it's got Miles Morales. He's a Black and Hispanic Spider-Man. That's not what I mean. I'm not talking about the inclusivity of the characters or, you know, people of other backgrounds, people of different gender identities and sexual orientations or ethnicities. What I'm talking about is the very simple fact that it's a Sony exclusive. And I think this might be one of those things that's really starting to bite a lot of companies in the butt when it comes to exclusivity of titles being, you know, pigeonholed to only this. And here's another thing I need to include when I say this, because I know there's people going to try to come for me, and I want you to understand something very clearly. I'm not talking about when a company creates a mascot or a franchise and they keep it to themselves. So I'm not saying that Nintendo needs to necessarily share, you know, Super Mario games or Legend of Zelda games with every other platform out there. But when you take a character that's iconic and world-renowned as Spider-Man, and you gate-lock it to only one system, and you keep it pinned down so tightly that only a small section, and by a small section, I mean of the entire gaming community, only the PlayStation owners get the opportunity to play this game. You've essentially hamstrung yourself. And so in a way, I feel like Sony only has themselves to blame for this. And the developers only have themselves to blame for this. Making Spider-Man such an, like I said, such an iconic character and such wonderful storytelling locked to a single platform did it no favors. And they kind of earned the snub that they got. Baldur's Gate, people knew it was coming to Xbox. They knew they'd have to wait, but they knew it was coming. And so when it hit the day of the Game Awards, it was a huge boost. I'm sure people who had already pre-ordered it were excited, but people like myself who had no real concrete plans to buy it, but were able to gift it or suddenly knew it was on Xbox and were like, oh, today's the day? I'm sure that did wonders for them. But yeah, I think that exclusivity is finally, after years of me saying this, it's becoming almost like a death knell for a game, especially if it's a broad-reaching franchise. I mean, we've seen what it's done to Destiny 2 over the years when they've made things PlayStation exclusive. It's bitten Bungie every single time they've tried it. They don't learn their lesson and they keep stumble fucking around and they keep doing it. But Sony keeps throwing the bag at them. So they keep picking up those coins and then they go, okay, it's on PlayStation only. I'm like, yeah, you morons. They did this once before, put you in the toilet. Then they bought you out. Now you're currently in the toilet. You're actually down the drain right now. Your player base is shrinking. Like, when are you guys going to learn that this exclusivity thing is not a great idea? Well, I don't know, but maybe this whole mess behind Spider-Man 2 will kind of prick some ears up. And Tears of the Kingdom was also another release from 2023 that got snubbed highly, but I do feel it might be slightly for the same reasons. People know that Legend of Zelda is not going across platform. That's just a given. It's not happening. Nintendo's not going to allow it. It will never happen. I mean, you might get lucky to get a Mario out of something. Maybe they'll let Sonic slide across platforms, but no, not the big guys. Not the big guys. Samus, Mario, and Link, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be Zelda. They're going to be Nintendo exclusive until maybe the end of the world. But it doesn't mean that that probably didn't give them a little bit of a snub for that reason, too. However, the little bit I've had to play of Tears of the Kingdom was so good that I feel like it did get robbed. And not necessarily deservedly so, but I kind of see where that kind of mentality would be coming from. And they go, well, you know, you guys make it exclusive so only your people can play it. Maybe. I don't know. But who knows? It just, That's all I got when it comes to that argument. It's like, yeah, but I mean, it's one thing when it's Spider-Man. It's one thing when it's Call of Duty. It's one thing if it were, God forbid, they did this. People would go and eat EA if they decided to make Madden like an Xbox exclusive or a PlayStation exclusive or whatever, or a Switch exclusive, you know, a Nintendo exclusive. They would go and burn EA headquarters to the ground. But at those games, at least I understand, because there's such a broad mass appeal, and the universes and the franchises themselves have historically gone multi-platform. So there'd be no real good reason to cut off such a tremendous install base and built-in player base just so you could get these pennies from this one section of the gaming community. I think that's what happened. So at Baldur's Gate swept. Can't really be mad at it now. I mean, it is what it is, but maybe this will be lessons to be learned going forward for game developers and for game studios and publishers. Hey, if we just make this exclusive to this one console, we are missing out on all these other pockets that we could be dipping into. And also, the more of those people who get a chance to play and enjoy and love our game, the more accolades we'll get, which brings more media attention to us, which means more money in the long run. That's just how I see it. Baldur's Gate, it totally deserves awards. I don't necessarily think that it needed all of them. And especially multiplayer was like, wow, really? And the biggest thing probably for that takeaway was that you can't play multiplayer with friends if you have a current save game. You have to create a brand new character for that. Granted, you can still do it, and it's a thing that still can work, and I have yet to test it out, but I think that maybe there's another multiplayer game out there that could have probably had that title, just because I don't really hear a lot of people doing, I know people do play multiplayer in Baldur's Gate 3, but there are so many other multiplayer games that are out there that work well and deserve that award. I think that one could have gone another way. That's just my personal opinion, however. And as far as community support, maybe it's just the fact that Baldur's Gate came out finished and any issues that they had, Larian was ready to patch. Larian's the developer, by the way. Larian was ready to patch like day one. They're like, we knew that this stuff was coming. We were trying to get it fixed, but we wanted to get this out to market. Here's the patch. Here you go. Hang on tight. More stuff's coming. That's a good thing. I don't know that they're the best, but I can't say that they were the worst. They've got to be better than Bungie's customers, community support, because holy crap, Bungie got nominated for Destiny 2, and me and my people could not get enough laughter after that one. That was hilarious to me. Putting the words Bungie, Destiny 2, and community support together in the same sentence should almost be a kind of thing that like resets the Matrix. It's just, when I heard that they were nominated at all, I was like, oh man, somebody at Bungie must have sold a lot of their soul or a chunk of ass to get their name on that list, because there's no way in hell they deserve that. Been playing Destiny for almost a little over a decade now, I think, at this point. There's no way in hell they deserve that at all. Oh, that was a good chuckle to have. It was really funny. I'm like, ha ha ha, somebody over there's got a sense of humor. But this ain't it, son. That gets basically to wrap that up. The summary of the Game Awards 2023 for me was all the pomp and circumstance of the Oscars without any real set piece moments that made it stand out. Nothing really felt like it was like crafted well enough that you were like, oh shit, you should be watching the entire show. There were little individual moments that I'll highlight in just a moment. Just overall, the show just kind of fell flat. Just felt like a 3.5 hour commercial with some musical guests. And that's not nearly enough for me to feel like, oh yeah, I got my money's worth. That's exactly what I needed. There were a couple of standout moments though. Christopher Guest. Some of you may remember him as Teal'c from the Stargate television series. Also, you might recognize him as the voice of Kratos from the God of War franchise. Got played off on a previous Game Awards for having a very long speech. That went on for almost 8 minutes, and they kind of poked fun at it later, and he was a good sport about it. Christopher Guest also, I believe, has a speech impediment that he works very hard to try to cover and to, like, not cover, but to work through. That's probably a better way to put it. He works very hard to be eloquent, to be as succinct as possible. But the emotion of the moment overtook him, and he got kind of a little bit more teasing than I think he deserved, but it was all in good fun because he came back to the Game Awards 2023 and basically said, look, I've got a speech. It's not anywhere near as long as, you know, my speech last year, but I will say that it's at least longer than Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3's campaign. And you could hear gamers around the world just go, ooh, that was grimy. It was so grimy, but the entire audience do like, and he just smiled and laughed and he goes, there's another company I won't be working for. And I'm like, you're probably right, but they definitely did deserve it. So that was a beautiful moment. I love stings like that. It was just so short and sweet and to the point. I was clapping. I paused the stream, thankfully, because it wasn't live. And like the whole chat just exploded like, no, he didn't. Like, yeah, he really went there. And it was perfect because only he could have really done it the way that he did it. And it was just a delightful moment from a delightful human being. Good on you, Christopher Guest. Did I say Christopher Guest? I meant Christopher Judge. I'm so all over the place right here. I said Guest twice, but I meant Christopher Judge. Although I'll admit, it would be kind of funny to see the guy who did Spinal Tap come up there and say the exact same thing. Although, if it was actually Christopher Guest, he probably would have said exactly that. Sorry. No disrespect to Christopher Judge. I'm just in the middle of, like, very little sleep, and I'm trying to put this together. But I love Christopher Judge. Apologize for messing up your name. But yeah, dude was awesome. And then the real set piece moment for me, and I'm going to be including a link to the YouTube video from the Game Awards of this guy, was the Game of the Year musical, like there was a music theme recap for each game. So every game that got nominated for Game of the Year, they took a snippet of the game's theme music and they reimagined it with this new orchestral score that was put together. And the flautist that was playing on the stage was amazing. This guy had big dick energy coming out of his ears. Oh my God, he was stomping around and dancing and flailing. And it was just like, he was playing like he was actually like performing with Metallica. He was like, he was playing like he was at Ozfest, not at the Game Awards. He was off the Richter. His name is Pedro Eustache, I believe is how it's pronounced. And the video of him playing during the Game Awards is totally worth the watch. It'll be in the link in the link will be in the description of this podcast. Please, you owe it to your life to check this out. Not only are you going to hear some great music from the top contenders in gaming for the Game of the Year, but man, his performance is hilarious. It's so good. It's so funny, but he's obviously having the time of his life. And you, wait for it. You're going to see how this comes along, but his performance just gets bigger and bigger as it goes forward. That's an inside joke. If you know, you know. When you watch it, you'll definitely get it. So please, 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 as much as the Game Awards deserves to get roasted for this year's show, this was a moment that was totally worth watching. I think everybody should see it. Whether you're a gamer or not, this dude was having all the fun, and he was playing his heart out, and he was amazing. Let's just be honest. He was amazing. He was very talented. But man, you are gonna like this. This is a mwah, chef's kiss. And props to Pedro. That was amazing. I hope he comes back every year and does the exact same thing. It was delightful to watch. All right, so that's going to put a bow on this gaming supplemental episode of the Wandering One podcast. Thank you all so much for all the support over this last few months since the podcast has started. I really do appreciate it. So if you get a chance, pop on over to twitch.tv/linkib and you can give me a watch. Today is actually December 18th, 2023. So this is a Monday, and usually I'm doing my Mellow Mood Mondays, playing some casual games, something more laid back. And I'll probably play some Cozy Grove or, I don't know, maybe some Tetris Effect. Who knows? But it'll be kind of a chill vibe today. Maybe I'll play some Baldur's Gate 3 because the people seem to love it and they seem to want to watch me find out stuff in the game, which has been also very hilarious, I will say. It's a wonderful game and it does deserve all the praise it's been getting, even if it doesn't deserve every award on the planet. Check me out over there on Twitch. You can also check me out on Patreon. Again, just follow the Patreon for now. The new subscription price of $3 per month for two bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon will kick in January. So again, just follow for now so you can get the updates and then you'll know when you can pull the trigger on a subscription. But please wait. If people subscribe right now, it stops me being able to change the price. And I'd like to save you a few bucks, but I'd still appreciate your support. So just pop on in, hang out for free. I'll make the Patreon episodes for the month of January free as well, so you can hear them there. And I'm really excited about it. Thank you guys so much for your support. And give the gift of the podcast. It's completely free right now. So you can get this podcast on Audio Boom, which is a great way to, you know, host a podcast if you're looking into doing so. Audio Boom also caters out to several other podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Deezer, and more. Please go and check it out on your platform of choice. I'm hoping I'll be able to get the RSS feed up soon so that you'll be able to add it to whatever podcast player you're currently using if you're not able to get it there. But again, you can always hit it up on Audio Boom. The page is right here, and I'll make sure I put it wherever I put the podcast up. You guys rock. Have a wonderful week. I hope to talk to you guys again very soon, and I'll see you all a little further on down the road. Have a good one.